several points from these readings. The first one takes a little bit of a setup. That reading about Elijah the prophet, we need a little context here. Elijah was a great prophet, after Moses, probably the greatest prophet in the Old Testament period. And one of the things that makes a great prophetic person is to be a bit of a person of extremes. Elijah was passionate, and that led to great prophecy, but it also led to great sin. You know, our greatest strength can also be our greatest weakness. So just before this reading we heard this morning, there's this big dramatic scene where Elijah is confronted by the 50 prophets of Baal. And so they're all claiming to be the true prophet of God. And so Elijah says, okay, let's test this out. You build an altar and put a holocaust on it, put a bullock, but don't light it. Ask your gods to do that. And I will set up my altar over here, and I will ask Yahweh to light the fire. And so they build their altar and put the holocaust on it, and they pray all morning. And Elijah taunts them and says, shout louder, maybe he's asleep, you know. And so they shout louder, and they chant, and they slash themselves, and they work at it all morning long, and nothing happens. And so Elijah goes over to his altar, and he just says a quick prayer to God, asking him to reveal himself. Fire comes down from heaven, consumes the holocaust and the altar and everything. And so everyone in the crowd believes that Elijah is the true prophet. And in his righteous anger at the prophets of Baal and in his zeal, he has the 50 prophets killed. A little overdramatic. Also a great sin. It's murder. And so everything crashes down around Elijah. First of all, Jezebel, the queen, those prophets of Baal are her prophets. She's a worshiper of Baal, so she's angry at Elijah for killing her prophets. So she's after him. He escapes out into the desert, and that's where we pick up the reading today. So Elijah, a man of extremes, he's a bit of a drama queen, you know. So he's out there and he says, I'm so depressed, I want to die. I'm no better than my fathers. You know, in self-delusion, he had thought of himself as perfect. And in his zeal for God, he actually went overboard and became a great sinner. And so that's what he means when he says, I'm no better than my fathers. They were sinners, I'm a sinner. Just kill me. Just let me die. And the angel comes and taps him on the shoulder and says, get over yourself. Get up and eat. And so there's this hearth cake there and a jug of water, and he eats. And then he goes back to sleep, praying for death again. And the angel taps him again and says, get up and eat, otherwise you won't have strength for the journey. And after he eats that, he walks 40 days and 40 nights back to the mountain of God, Horeb. Okay, 40 years is a biblical lifetime. 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus spends that in the desert. He's a precursor of Jesus. So in other words, this journey is long. It's a lifelong journey. And he goes back to Horeb. Horeb is another word for Sinai. That's where Moses received the law. That's where Moses spoke to God face to face. That's where it all began. And he's going back to the origin now, because sometimes you have to go backward in order to go forward. And that's one of the things we're always doing here at Mass. We're going backward. We're remembering the source of it all, of our salvation. And that source is the Last Supper, it's Calvary, it's the death and resurrection of Christ. That's looking back. And we can't look forward without that context. We've got to keep reminding ourselves of the context out of which we're saved. We have to keep reminding ourselves of the story of our salvation. If we don't know our story, how can we go forward? How can we have hope in that everlasting future? What's it based on if it's not based on the source? But it's also about food, isn't it? The angel says, eat, otherwise you won't have strength for the journey. And Jesus says in the gospel, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, and they died. This is the bread for someone to eat and never die. This isn't bread that will nourish for a day. This is bread that will nourish for eternity. We're all on this lifelong journey to the kingdom of God. And we have to have strength for the journey. It's an arduous task we're on. And there are pitfalls, and we're sinners, and we need grace. We can't do this on our own. But thankfully, we've been given the bread of life. We've been given the Eucharist to nourish us along the way. And then finally, in that reading from St. Paul, he's telling the Ephesians, don't offend the Holy Spirit with whom you have been sealed for redemption. Live honestly, truthfully. Put away all malice and anger and resentment and put on Christ. That's the words he said last week, but here's he's putting flesh on that. Not only put away all this malice, but put on the virtues of Christ. Forgive one another as he has forgiven you. Be kind and compassionate toward one another. Be Eucharist for one another. You've had this wonderful example of God on earth in Jesus, but now that has been breathed through the Holy Spirit into you so that you become Eucharist for one another. That you, in the same way that Christ became a sacrificial offering on the cross, pleasing and pleasant fragrance to the Father. God wants us to smell good. You know, the pleasing fragrance is our sacrificial offering of our lives. St. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Put your body into it. Love one another. Be kind and compassionate. Put away all this malice and envy and strife. Live as Christ, so that you will be a pleasing fragrance in the nostrils of the Father.